At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
It is TRE, and I'm delighted now to welcome onto the show Lydia Matrova. Good afternoon, Lydia. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Am I saying your surname correctly? Matrova or Matrova?
Well, yes, in the international space, in Slovak, in the Slovak language, it's Machova.
Machova.
Yeah, kind of wrote as if written with the Jota.
Yeah.
In Spanish.
Well, we saw your TED talk and we thought we've got to get you on the show because for me, when you started your TED talk, you were talking about somebody taking years to learn a language. And I thought, yes, you've just described me to a T. I'm exactly like that because I've lived here for 10 years in Spain and my Spanish, I can have a basic conversation, but I'm just too lazy learning a new language. And So this is, you've obviously got a passion for learning languages. Was that always there?
Yes. I started learning my first language, English, when I was 11. And it was my favorite subject at school, so I kind of always loved it. But then the real change in my language learning story started with Spanish, actually, when I was 19. And that was the first language that I ever learned by myself as an autodidact. Yeah.
Did you know English at all at that point or not?
Yeah, I mean, when I was learning Spanish, so I was 19, and I was already studying English at a university to become an interpreter.
Wow. And the thing is, though, I mean, a lot of us say, you know, is there any truth in the fact that some people are created to learn languages better than other people? I mean, some people, it feels like some are better than others at it generally. That must be true to an extent, is it not?
Yes, to an extent, definitely. I mean, people are generally better at some things and not so good at others, right? Yeah. But it is definitely not true that some people are cut out to learn languages and others aren't. I really, really believe that anyone can learn a language if they find the right way that is enjoyable for them.
Yeah, and what about age? Because some of our listeners will be retired and they tend to say stuff like this. It's okay for you young people to learn Spanish, but it's more difficult for us when we're older.
Yeah, well, I would agree to an extent, again, that it is more difficult to learn anything in general for older people. I mean, that's just how our brains work, right?
Yeah.
But I actually know a lot of people in person who started to learn a language well in their 60s or 70s, and it was maybe their first foreign language, and it works really well, and they speak the language really, really well now. So it all depends on the approach. If someone really wants to learn a language and wants to find that way that will work for them, they will definitely find it.
Now, I don't think I've ever spoken, I probably have spoken to a polyglot, but I didn't know what the term meant until I saw you speaking about it. So the fact that you are called, that you have this name or category called polyglot, does that not already make you feel like you're different to other people?
No, and actually I did not see myself like that for a long time. So it was weird for me to refer to myself as a polyglot, because when I read about polyglots, it was these famous people who speak, you know, 20 plus languages. And actually when I was going to my first polyglot gathering, an event for polyglots, I was a bit hesitant. I was like, well, I only speak about 5 or 6 languages. Is that enough to go there? So, yeah, but the name may be a little bit weird or even scary, but it basically means that these people love learning languages, and that's what all these events are for, people who just enjoy that process.
So which languages then, Lydia, do you speak?
Yeah, well, in the order as I learned them, they're English, German, Spanish, Polish, French, Esperanto, Russian, a bit of the Slovak sign language, and I'm currently working on Swahili.
Tell us about Esperanto. I don't know much about that language.
Yeah, well, it's a made-up language that was developed in 1887, so it's a really old one. And the original idea was to create an international language that everybody could use easily and learn it easily, right?
Yeah.
You may have heard about it. It was very popular in the 80s, and now it's not pursued as that project with that ultimate goal in mind, but there are still a lot of people, huge community of people who love using it because they think that it's actually a much fairer language because, well, now we have English as lingua franca, but so many people from English-speaking countries did not really have to do anything to learn it, right? Yeah. And all of us have to. So with Esperanto, it's more fair because we all have to learn it, but it's a lot easier.
It's a level playing field then. Yeah. Now, the other question I've got for you as well, I'm going to ask you in a moment some of the tips that you can give us on learning a new language.
Sure.
I'm just trying to work out, the more languages you know, does that mean that you don't know them so well? Because, you know, there's only so much brain space we have and memory space. Surely, is that not at the detriment maybe of some of the languages you've already learned?
No, I don't think it works that way. I suppose it works kind of like, you know, a mother having more children. Does that mean she loves her first children less because she now gives more love to later children? I don't think so. I think it kind of develops. So the more languages I learn, the better I am at it, and the more effective I can make it. And of course, you need to keep the previous languages in some ways.
Yeah.
They do get a little bit worse, but that's a natural thing. Even if I just learned one language and then stopped using it altogether, then it would get a little bit worse.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, because you've got so many languages, I mean, does that kind of cause complications with vocabulary? You know, if you was to focus on one language, maybe you could really grow in that one language more if you weren't focusing on other languages as well.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, if I had just spent all this time that I learned other languages working on my English, I'm sure my English would be much better and my vocabulary would be richer. But then I wouldn't be able to communicate with as many people, right? For me, this is the beauty of speaking many languages. Like, I can travel the world, which I actually do quite a lot of, and I meet so many people from many countries, and I can easily connect with them and speak to them in their language. And that for me is a blessing. It's wonderful.
Now, you polyglots, you all seem to get together and have a great time having like these conferences and get-togethers around the world and gatherings, and it must be quite interesting. And is English the go-to language for everybody, or do you just decide, now we're going to speak in French for the next 10 minutes or whatever?
No. So you cannot do it with any other language because there will always be a group of people who don't speak that particular language, right? Well, English is kind of the default language, but in the last years, there has been an attempt to have English-free zones at the gatherings or events where people are encouraged to use other languages because, well, why would we use English? English is kind of the boring language, sorry to say so, but the boring language for polyglots because, well, why shouldn't we practice German or Spanish, you know? I mean, it's it depends on all the name tags we have. People put flags of the languages they speak. So when you meet someone for the first time, you first look at their name tag and you go like, hablas español, pues podemos cambiar, no?
What's your favorite language? Because I think certain languages are good for certain things. So I think arguing in Spanish is far more passionate than arguing in English.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. I don't have like one language which is my favorite. It usually depends on what I'm learning because I tend to fall in love with that language at the time I'm learning it. So when I was learning Russian, it was Russian. And when I was learning French, it was French. But in general, I have to say Spanish is really very, very close to my heart. Maybe because, I don't know, I like listening to songs in Spanish and it just sounds really nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, also we have people who listen who struggle to learn another language and they're here and they live in Spain. For you, how does learning a new language open up a new culture to you?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, just the ability to speak to someone in their language and the ability to have a conversation where the other person can be absolutely natural, doesn't need to make any effort to speak to me. I believe this is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Yeah. And I experience it, especially when I travel and I meet a group of people. And I was in Cambodia last week. And I met two girls who were from Poland. They were traveling together. And when they met me, we just continued in Polish.
Yes.
You know, that was just, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling for me and for them as well. So I enjoy it in this way.
And which language do you dream in?
Oh, that depends on which I've spoken most of during that day.
Right.
So if I, so when I was in Cambodia, I was speaking Polish all day long with these girls, then I would dream in Polish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in Polish then as
That's
well.
Fantastic. Now, you see, I said to Wendy, my producer earlier, that when I'm tired, my Spanish isn't so good. And somebody rang me the other day in Spanish. And I'd just literally been awake 5 minutes and I was struggling to understand what they were saying. Plus it was on the telephone, which made it a little bit more difficult.
Right.
And, you know, when you're tired, do you just tend to go back to your kind of default language and feel more comfortable in that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's really natural that that happens. And it happens to me in all of my languages. English is my strongest one, but it sometimes happens, especially if I'm like jet lagged, for example. I find it very difficult to express myself. And I feel like kind of like walking in the water, you know, you are making the movements, but it doesn't quite work. And it feels frustrating. So it's absolutely normal. My default language is Slovak. That's the language, you know, that my meta language, that is the easiest for me. So if I'm very, very tired, I would prefer to think and say things in Slovak for sure.
Now, you are aiming to learn a new language every 2 years. Now, most people, when they learn languages, I'm not sure, I think either we don't learn it quick enough and put enough work into it, or we actually think we can learn it in 4 weeks and we're all going to be completely fluent in four weeks' time.
Exactly.
So it's unrealistic. So what do you think is the ideal timescale to have in your mind to say, I'm going to learn a new language and I'm going to give myself this amount of time?
So I say 2 years, but it's very important to say how much time do I spend with the language every day during those 2 years, right? It could be 8 hours, it could be 10 minutes, and that's a huge difference. So I personally love to spend 1 hour a day with a language, not more than that, because I have too many other activities in my life to do as well. And I've found that this amounts to about 500, 600 hours of language contact before I get to a level where I feel kind of comfortable and I can have a conversation with people and watch movies or series and read books, nonfiction books in that language.
Yeah.
That for me is the level that I strive for. And that is achievable in 500, 600 hours, especially if we're speaking about a person who speaks a European language and learns another European language.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's possible faster. So I know polyglots who have really achieved a very high level in a different language in 3 months, but then they basically just put more effort into it every day and they really spend 6-7 hours a day learning that language.
Yeah.
So it all depends on how much time you're willing to put into it. But the most important thing to note here is that it should be every day. Even if it's just 15, 20 minutes, it's so much more important to learn every day in small chunks than to learn once or twice a week.
Yeah. Now, are you learning a new language at the moment?
Yes, I'm learning Swahili.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, you did tell me that, yeah.
Which
is that a difficult language to learn?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's different. It's my first non-European language.
Yeah.
So there are a few things, especially in the grammar, where I go like, wow, this is interesting. I've never seen this. But it's also what makes it interesting, right? And it's difficult because there are not so many resources, and I don't personally know people who speak the language. I'm going to go to Kenya and Tanzania this year for a month to practice, but it's not as easy for me to find people to practice with as it is with, you know, European languages.
Yeah. Now, tell us about a friend of yours that you mentioned in a TED Talk who wanted to learn Russian and basically just befriended a whole load of Russians on Skype.
Yeah, well, Lucas from Brazil, I think that's an amazing story, and it just shows how polyglots basically learn with very, very natural ways. So what he did is, he really wanted to learn Russian. And I have to say that he was really, really bad at English. He's a Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
So they have this kind of custom. They have this thing in Brazil where they give each other presents for Christmas, but it's meant to be kind of a fun type of present. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like you give someone a present that you know they would definitely not want,
yeah.
Right? And his friends gave him a book of Russian, to learn Russian, because they knew that he was so bad at languages that he would never, ever learn it. And he wanted to prove them wrong, so he wanted to speak to people in Russian, but he didn't know anyone. So he just added 100 people who had Russian names on Skype as friends. And then he opened a chat window with one of them and a Google Translate, right?
Yeah.
And he would say hi in English and it would say privet, like hi, yeah, in Russian. So he put it in the chat window and the person replied, hi, how are you? You know, kind of like, who are you actually? And so Lucas copied this text and put it to a chat window with a completely different person. And now this person thought that Lucas was asking him how he is. So they replied, I'm fine, thank you, how are you? And then Lucas would copy this first to Google Translate to figure out what the guy said, what it is, yeah, all about, and then back to the first chat window. And so the person replied and he put it back to the second window. And in this way, he basically had two people have a conversation with each other. And Lucas was following it all on Google Translate.
Fantastic. Brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And you also read, and I think it's really important because I think a lot of times some of the language books, language learning books are boring, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're so terribly boring.
You know, like Jack went and bought an apple from the market and it's like, can you tell me where the market is, please?
Or yes, I hate
where the train station is. And it's like, yeah,
exactly.
I know where the train station is now. I've asked you 5 times. But you actually read Harry Potter in Spanish Spanish at all.
Well, no Spanish at all. So I'd been learning Spanish for about 3 or 4 months before that with a book. Okay, so I did have some basics, but yeah, it was definitely not a level where anyone would expect me to read a book. I mean, I got an audiobook actually, and the book itself, a Spanish, yeah, translation of Harry Potter, Y la Cámara Secreta. And I started reading every day for about 20 minutes and listening at the same time. And I really did not understand almost anything. It was very frustrating at the beginning, but I said, you know, what can happen? I mean, I'm just going to try, see if it gets any better. We'll see. And so I continued learning, reading every day. And it was just incredible to watch what happened later, because some sentences started to make sense, and then some paragraphs started to make sense. And before I knew it, by the end of the book, I was reading whole pages and they made sense to me. And I could not even, like, when I looked at those words themselves, I did not know all those words. I mean, yeah, with Harry Potter, you have things like wand and pumpkin juice, you know,
yes,
and like Quidditch. But
it doesn't make sense in English.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to understand in English too. But I really understood what it was all about. I mean, I understood that Hermione was angry with Ron and all these things, and it just made sense. And this was such a wonderful experience for me. And that's when I realized that if you have a lot of input, input which you can understand up to a certain level, not, yeah, like completely different language, then you really get into a very special flow. And this language kind of, you get it, you,
yeah,
know? It's difficult to explain, but yeah, that's when I understood I need a lot of input, and this is how I will learn, and not by reading about, you know, train station directions in a textbook.
Yeah. Now, I sometimes think I don't know much at all in Spanish, and then suddenly I will surprise myself and have a conversation, and I'm surprising myself.
Mm-hmm.
The question I've got really for you, I suppose you're always learning anyway, aren't you? So even the languages that you know, you're still going to be learning new vocabulary from people who are probably far more established in that language than you are. Go on, Anya. Is that right?
Well, yes. So you always kind of learn when you use the language and they use a word that you have never heard. Is,
yeah,
that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So you're growing in it all the time.
But it's not very active, and it's not very effective actually. What I suggest for people is to find a system in their learning where they really put all their effort in on the learning process, and it's not kind of like something that happens in the, yeah, background, but something that I really want my brain to see or to hear regularly. And that's why I always support people to, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, but to work with the vocabulary in a conscious way.
Yeah.
That means maybe reading a short text and finding 3 new words which I want to remember, and then put them into my flashcards app. Right.
Yeah.
And if you create a system in this and you do it every day, you again get into the flow, it becomes a habit, and you will remember these words so much better than if they just kind of happen somehow during your day.
Yeah. So
that also, I'm sorry.
No, carry on. Yeah.
Yeah. That also explains why you can spend several years living in Spain or any other country, and the language doesn't just get into your brain, right? It doesn't happen naturally. If you want it to get better, you really need to spend some focused time with the language every day, even if it's 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. At what point do you, Lydia, think to yourself, right, I've learned that language now? At what point do you think I've arrived, or do you ever get to that place?
Yes, I achieved that point when it's called comfortable fluency by many polyglots, and it's or a B2 if you're familiar with the European framework system. Okay, but a very good B2, not a B2 that your language school told you now have because you passed one test, but a level where you feel really comfortable talking about almost any topic for, let's say, half an hour, an hour. Yeah. With another native speaker, and the conversation is not painful for you because you can express yourself, and it's not painful for the listener because they can understand you, right?
Yeah.
And you can also watch some series or movies without subtitles, then you understand them, and you can read a nonfiction book. For me, these three things, these are basically my KPIs when it comes to language learning. That's when I know, okay, this is a point where I'm able to use the language. I can use the language, and I will not lose it if I stop learning it right now.
And what about accent then, Lydia? Do you try and take on the Spanish accent? I mean, obviously there's so many different Spanish accents, or there's loads of different English accents. Do you try and take on a kind of a general accent, or just...
I'm personally not so much bothered with the accent, and I'm even in English I have my own accent, and in every language basically. What I strive to achieve is being understandable, comprehensible to everyone. And with Spanish, actually, it's interesting because when I started learning, I had a lot of friends from Spain, from Galicia, who was studying here in Bratislava. So I think my Spanish was kind of similar to theirs. But then I traveled more into Latin America. I spent a month in Mexico, Colombia, Argentina. So I guess my Spanish is a mixture, you know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, I've never had a problem with any native speakers of Spanish to understand me. So I guess that's just fine.
And finally, before I let you go, what was it like to do a TED Talk? Was it quite nerve-wracking?
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. It was professionally the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I know that people don't realize it's like, well, it's just 10 minutes, right? But that's exactly the problem,
you
right?
Get it how all can in. You?
Yes, exactly. How can you share your best idea with the world in just 10 minutes? I had like 15 drafts, and one day before I flew to New York, I actually only had 3 weeks to prepare for that. It was a very special occasion. One day before flying to New York, I still did not have my final draft, and I was so frustrated. But in the end, I think it was fine, and I managed to get across something that is very important to me, and people react really well to it. So yeah. I'm glad about that.
Well, it's a great TED Talk. I mean, do TED, the company, do they approach you, and then, or do you know somebody? How does that work?
No. They approached me, and they told me that they had me in their files for 2 years, so they knew that they would call me sooner or later. And I was really, really honored and glad to hear that, because there are a lot of other polyglots in the community who are better known, who have more videos and more followers online. But the curator at TED felt that I have something special to share, and that's why he invited me. So that was awesome.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it. The TED Talk is online. It's on YouTube and also on the TED app as well. If you want to go, it's called The Secrets of Learning a New Language by Lydia Machova. Is that right?
Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Nice job.
That's
a try, Vinana. Thank you, Lydia. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate your time. And maybe next time we'll do it in Spanish, but maybe not.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lydia. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityCairo.com. That's AbilityCairo.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.